Hello.
Hi, Kayla. So we are good to go.
All right, awesome.
All right, let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
Sure. So I graduated in May of 2019. I was a contemporary dance major, and I gained my BFA in that. And I also, in the dance program, we had areas of emphasis, and my areas of emphasis were jazz performance and pedagogy.
Oh, and pedagogy, like teaching, cool.
Yeah.
And by the way, I know that is dance the one, because you said contemporary dance. I know I always think about go as people are either like performance theater, musical theater, dance. Is dance the same thing as contemporary dance, or does
Yeah,
dance? Okay.
yeah. It's the same.
Got it. No, it's cool to get the formal name. I just wasn't sure if there was like a classic dance and contemporary dancer.
I think that since graduation, there is now, since I graduated, there are now commercial versus, I believe, concert dance. I don't
Interesting.
know if it's different majors, but I do know that since I graduated, there have been more specifications in the dance major.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Very cool. So we will get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
Sure. So I work in Newton, Massachusetts. I work at a small practice called the Academy of Physical and Social Development. And here I lead several social skills groups a week for children ages kindergarten through high school. And many of the kids that I see are either on the autism spectrum, may have an ADHD diagnosis, or other various mental health diagnoses.
Is this a place where kids go to instead of going to public school, or is this a like an after-school program?
It's like an after-school program. So the kids just come for 1 hour per week after school.
Got it. With many different kids at many different times.
Yes.
Gotcha. And what's your job title?
I'm a mental health counselor, soon to be licensed. My licensure application is currently under review, so hopefully that comes through soon.
Got it. I know that my sister got a job teaching, and it was like she got a provisional certification while the school paid for her to get her master's degree. And were you at a similar sort of situation where the school then the academy then helps you get your license?
So they do help me in that, in order to apply for licensure, you need to have 3,360 practice hours. So since I graduated and I did my internship here before graduation from my master's program,
Got it.
I've been working here ever since to accrue those hours.
Oh, okay, so by definition, there are people working who don't have their licenses. They require a whole bunch of hours before you even get it.
Yeah.
Okay, understood. You're one of how many mental health counselors at this institution?
So I am one of three full-time employees, and there are about 10 others who work here part-time.
And are the full-time all mental health counselors, or are you the only one with that title?
We're all mental health counselors. The two others are licensed.
Right, understood. Would you mind sharing, take us through a typical work day. From start to end, the work part of the work day. We don't need to hear about your breakfast or what you
That
get
makes
in and
sense.
what you're doing day hour by
So
hour.
I get pretty lucky in terms of my start time of the day. I usually come in around 10, because I do work later hours. I work until about 7:30 at night most nights, because the kids that I see come in after school. So the day doesn't really get into full swing for me until 3:30 in the afternoon most days. So when I come in at 10, there's a lot of admin work that I get done. I do a lot of phone calls. I am one of the people in charge of scheduling interviews for new kids who want to come in to join the program. So I handle all of those inquiries and things.
I'm sorry, when you say admin, because I think of there's a lot of paperwork in the medical or social work or mental health field, or is this, there's also, let's say, the administrative tasks of running an office, right? Ordering coffee filters and paying the electric bill and all that. Do you do both of those, or is it more the former?
It's a little bit of both, definitely more the former. But as I have kind of worked here more year after year, I kind of get more of those operational admin tasks added. But primarily, I work on like writing all of my session notes and communication with parents, writing what we call goal updates for the kids. So it's primarily paperwork.
Gotcha. And as you say, being in contact with families and yes, documenting everything.
Yes.
Got it. And then the kids arrive at 3:30, you said. So I'd love to hear, what sort of activities do you do with a kid? What is, you say they're there for 1 hour, so what is it that you might be doing? If you could give a couple, I see no names, but give a couple examples of the type of work that you
Sure. So we have a big gym space that we use here. And we do all kinds of stuff. We have a rope swing. We do a lot of turn-taking games, cooperative games. I can't go into too much detail because they are our games that we have kind of invented over the years. But I would say they're pretty similar to something that you might have played in gym class in elementary school. We don't necessarily do organized sports that often, but we do try to do keep the kids active.
Right, because you said it's a lot of autistic children, so just sort of teaching them the basics of cooperation.
And how to stay connected with peers and have a positive social experience.
I understand, because yeah, I just noticed that it's the Academy of Physical and Social Development. So, in general, this is physical activities. You're not like sitting the kid down with a book.
No.
And I guess, can I just ask, as these kids are playing these games, because all that sounds nice, but that, there are camp counselors, right, who are high school kids, never mind people with master's degrees and licensure. So, as the kids are playing a game, right, what are you exactly doing? You see what I mean? Like, what
Absolutely.
differentiates you from a camp counselor?
Sure. So all of the games that we play with the kids, we are also actively involved in all of those. So in many of our games, we're playing as competitors with the kids so that they can kind of learn how to manage competition. But in like a lower stakes type situation where they're not necessarily competing against each other, they're competing against adults who, in many cases, though we would never say it to them, let them win so that they can feel really successful, in the moment. And there are many situations where these kids do really struggle with being a part of a team, cooperating. So those are really the moments where we can step in as counselors to give feedback and support, and help the kids manage any emotions that might come along with all of that. So I would say that those are the primary differences.
Sure. And can I ask sort of about the business end? I'm just curious about this academy because there are some after-school programs or a lot where it's just, the parents pay, and if they, parents have the money and the desire, they pay, and if they don't, they don't, and the kid doesn't go. And then there are some where either like their health insurance covers it, or even where the town, again, I have a sister who works at a school for very dyslexic children, and it's like some of their kids, the parents pay, but others, the town has decided that, this kid is beyond our ability to help adequately, so the town then pays for the kid to go. Like, so do you know what I mean? Like, are your clients, the children, is there like that administrative level, or are they all just parents pay?
I would say in most cases it is parents paying. There are some situations where we can get our services covered by insurance. And there have also been situations too, like you described, where the school is looking for a little bit of extra support. So a little bit of all of that, but I would say primarily parents pay.
Got it. Got it. So that definitely means that you're accountable to the families, and
Yeah, absolutely.
they want it. So how much communication do you do with the parents? Like, I imagine as the children are playing, you're watching them like a hawk and
Yeah, definitely. Some parents more than others. Some parents just drop their kids off and are super content with the progress that they see outside. But I do try to be as communicative as possible with parents, giving them just like a quick spiel after group about what we did, how everyone did. If parents have specific concerns, they can come up and ask me questions or talk to me. And then we do have at least 3 times a year, we'll have like a formal sit down. Formal, I'm saying loosely. It's usually like this over Zoom. But where we sit down and we talk a little bit more in depth about what we're seeing in group. And then also just to get an update on the kids, how they're doing outside of group. Because that's all a part of making sure I give them the best support that they can get.
And can I just ask, like, when you're working with the kids, kind of how many counselors and other adults versus how many kids at any one moment?
Yeah. So we have a max of 7 kids per group. And then per each group, we have at least 2 adults.
Got it. And you mentioned, of course, you're a counselor. Do you have, can we call, if they were in regular schools, we'd call them paraprofessionals, right? People with less education, less pay, but they're definitely helpful? Or are you all like counselors in that sense? You see what I'm saying? Like, is it
Yeah,
sort of
yeah.
two t do you have your assistant, or is it like you're all counselors?
I work with a graduate student intern for each of my groups. So when I first started at the academy, I was actually an intern, and I had a staff person who's like the head counselor of the group. And now I'm the head counselor, and I will work with student interns.
Got it. So typically you and intern 5 to 7 children.
Yep.
Great. And you mentioned they come for an hour and your day starts at 3:30. What I'm guessing 3 sessions and then a little bit of wrap up at the end and then you go home.
Yep.
Right, cool. Oh, and one other thing, to qualify for these interviews, one of the criteria that you have to hit is that you enjoy what you do. So what is it about being, as mental health counselor in this sort of physical, kind of call it physical game space? What is it about and working with children, kind of all that? What is it that you enjoy?
Of course. So when I tell people kind of the short, extremely abridged version of what I do is I pretty much say I get paid to play games with kids, which is really awesome. So that is one of the most unique, I think, experiences in the field. When I was kind of exploring what I wanted to do, I had never heard of an opportunity like this before. Like so much so that I was like, I couldn't really believe that it was real. And then when I started as an intern and they wanted to hire me, I couldn't believe that that was real. So it's a really, really cool and special job, and I feel really thankful for that.
I'm gonna dig just a little deeper
Yeah.
because I know the ancient Greeks had different words for these. I forget what they are, but in terms of what, to what you're getting out of it, and again, no right or wrong answer. Is it more like just because you love being kids and having fun with kids, and you're always playing with your nieces and nephews? I'm making up the fact that you have some. Or is it more like you get the satisfaction from watching the progress that they might be making? Or is it, you know what I mean? Is it like the momentary joy? Is it the accessories to the combo? I'd love if you could articulate what about this is so awesome.
Yeah, it's both. I love being around kids. I'm the oldest of I have 3 younger siblings. I've got a lot of younger cousins, and I babysit on the weekends. So I just really, really enjoy that part of it. And then to seeing how much kids progress over time is really, really special.
Great. Oh, and one last thing before we move to the next part. How long are people typically with your program? But the kids, that is.
Yeah, I would say on average, kids are here for about 2 years. We have kids who just do the one school year, and then we also have kids who stay for 5+ years.
Sure. All right, great. So let's take it back now to 2019, although if you feel that this story has a logical earlier starting point, we can go back further.
Okay.
Because it sounds like you weren't at least planning necessarily to be working in this type of space with autistic children.
Right.
Maybe you were, put us in your headspace as things were wrapping up at BOCO, and then we'll take it one step at a time from there to where you are now, both in terms of what you were doing, but also in terms of where you were at mentally in terms of your career.
Sure. So for my story, we do have to go back to actually freshman year at BOCO. First semester, 3 weeks in, I got injured, and I had a pretty severe herniated disc in my lower back.
Yike.
And so I didn't dance for the first semester of college. And I always say that to get me back and to be able to actually graduate on time with my class, I had a team of so many amazing people, both on BOCO faculty and outside, physical therapists, all of my professors. I had a massage therapist, just so many people.
Can I ask, by the way, were you injured dancing?
Yes, I was injured dancing. And then I actually ended up having surgery to have the herniated part of the disc removed in December of 2015. So I came back to BOCO and I started dancing, not full time, but in like March of my freshman year.
All right. For anything but a dance major, that sounds a lot less bad.
So I had so many people who helped me get physically better. But I really felt like the mental health side of things for me just really suffered. And I think that's what really started for me wanting to get into mental health counseling and mental health support. I didn't really know what that meant at the time, but I knew that I wanted to help people like me who went to college either for dance or for athletics and then got injured and couldn't do it anymore. Or had a very slow recovery process like I did.
Right.
So that was what kind of inspired me originally to get into this area.
Gotcha. I'm going to ask a somewhat awkward question here.
Sure.
Which is, you were injured, you got better, you went back to your college, but did you, let's say as you were recovering, did you feel like you could, once you were at the top of your game, or did you feel like, okay, you still have some problems, you're never going to be, you know, you're never going to make it to that top tier professional dancer and you're going to have to hybridize your career somehow? You see that question? Like, did you feel like you were back at 100%, or did you feel like you were at 94%? And those last 6% were never going to happen, and therefore, ...
Yeah. I think that was certainly part of it. I think that there were times where I felt like I was at 100%, but I also didn't know how sustainable it would be for me, both physically and then mentally, like trying to push myself, trying to get there, and knowing that it likely was not going to be successful for me.
So there was a push and a pull.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Okay. Great. So anyway, you're thinking this whole idea of working in some sort of rehabilitation
Yep.
is appealing. As you said, you did do pedagogy as a specialty, reflecting that.
Yep.
So then I guess can we jump to sort of the end of BoCo and what's
So the end of BoCo, during my junior and senior year, I joined a couple of programs where I led dance and movement classes, both for autistic children and then also for senior citizens in assisted living homes. And I knew
These
that
BoCo related programs or outside?
yes, they were both BoCo related. And I loved both of those things. So I was like, I really love this athlete dancer injury rehabilitation side of things. I really love working with kids. And I really love also working with seniors. So, like, how can I do all of these things? And it was actually a recommendation from someone on BoCo faculty that I check out Regis College for grad school, and that I check out their it was called counseling psychology at the time that I applied, but now it's called clinical mental health counseling, and that's the degree that I graduated with. So I applied there and I got in somehow. And
And so you applied while you were a senior at BoCo.
I actually applied like the week of graduation, and I was able to join them in September.
Gotcha. So, well, work a couple odd jobs that summer or just take the summer off?
My mom actually owns a business on
Okay.
Long Island, where I'm from, so I was able to join her for the summer.
Cool. And then was this a 2-year program or?
Yes, it was 2 years with summer semesters included.
Okay, so like you're in school solidly for 2 years. It sounds like there was some internship experience part of that. And was this the first place you interned, the Academy of Physical and Social Development? And Regis College, are they in Newton?
Regis College is in Weston, so
Okay.
pretty much. This was not the first place that I interned. I was also so there are two requirements for your license as a mental health counselor. You have to do a practicum, which is a much shorter version of internship. An internship is full year, practicum is just 1 semester.
Sure.
And I did my practicum at the Glen Haven Academy, which was a residential program
For elderly, then, or for children?
for kids.
For kids. And you say you got this master's clinical mental health counseling. Like, was this sort of a one-size-fits-all counseling program, or were you specializing within that on working with children or working physical or?
It was kind of a one size fits all. I definitely took some electives that were more tailored to my interests, but I got just the general one.
Gotcha. But you had your undergraduate experience as well as your knowing what you want to do, so I'm sure you were a very desirable candidate for a place like where you ended up. Right, so you said you did your internship there. I assume like you didn't know anyone here, right? You just applied and
Oh yeah, I just applied. We have someone on staff at Regis who is called like a field placement coordinator, and they just give you recommendations like, oh, based on your interests, this sounds like something cool. But yeah, I just applied.
And can I ask, when you were interning there, was this a paid internship or unpaid?
It was not a paid internship. The majority of internships in this field would be unpaid.
Sure. I know I have a master's in education, did student teaching, and that too was
Oh,
unpaid.
yeah. So you know.
Oh yeah, I know. Great. And then can you just, how did that turn into your current job then?
Yeah, so I had a unique internship experience for sure. I was mostly virtual for my internship experience here, which was very difficult, but also a very interesting perspective that I got to have.
How do you even work with children remotely doing physical stuff?
Oh, it was interesting for sure. There were lots of challenges. At the time, the program was actually hybrid. So we would do 1 week virtual, 1 week in person. But I actually got to develop like some really useful, I think, skills with being stationary on a computer. If a kid was having a really hard time and they needed a break, they could come over and they could talk to me online and we could play an online game. If a kid was sick but still wanted to come to group, they could hang out with me online. They could like join the Zoom call. So there were things that I gained as an intern that some people didn't. And I mean, of course, there were things that I missed out on not being in person, but it was definitely a very
Well, a
informative
challenge is
experience.
the opportunity to shine, right? So,
Yes.
great. And then did they approach you and just have a conversation like, so what are you doing after? And do you want to work here?
Yeah, I actually approached them, and I was really interested in working here, and we also run a summer program. So I framed it as, since I was half virtual, I would or mostly virtual, and then I started coming in person towards the end of the year, most once people's vaccines, like that all started rolling out.
Yeah, like spring of 21, summer 21.
I had framed it as I would love to come in person over the summer to get all of that experience, learn to play the games in person.
Still as an intern or
Whatever.
as an employee at that point?
Still as an intern. And then I want to say it was, I think right before I started the summer program, still as an intern, I got a call from my boss asking if I would come on in the fall.
Oh, that's nice.
For like a paid staff position.
And which is your current position?
Yes.
Excellent. And here you are,
And here I am.
what, 2.5 years later?
Yep.
Awesome. All right, so we'll take it onto the third part of the interview of three. And let me preface this next question with there's no right or wrong answer. So, you were a dance major. These days, like meaning, late 2023, what, if anything, is your relationship to dance?
I am a very passionate observer of dance. So I just went to the Nutcracker last week. I absolutely love it. I cry every time. Love it so much. I go see my friends' shows. I have been trying to work up the courage to go to a dance class for a while. but I'm not quite there yet.
Sure. Very cool. But and I'd say, you're not alone. And I've
Yeah.
definitely heard. I mean, often I've asked people about music, but people are still doing it casually. But there definitely are the people where, they really appreciate it, but it's not where they're at the moment.
Yeah.
Great. So, next question I have for you is, I see at the end of the day you got this clinical master's in clinical mental health counseling. And I'm sure people came to that from lots of undergraduate backgrounds. But let's assume you would have gotten an undergrad somewhere, right? Gone to SUNY Stony Brook or something. So let's say compared to, a generic bachelor's degree, is there anything you felt your BOCO experience did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
Yes. I think that, well, there are lots of ways. I'm finding it hard to articulate everything right now, but the thing that stands out to me, well, there's two things that are really standing out. So my background and emphasis in pedagogy was huge for me, in several of the classes that I took, and then I think also in my practical experiences, like my internships that I did, having that background and that experience was incredibly helpful. Because in a lot of ways, leading a group is very similar to teaching.
Sure.
And it gave me a lot of those foundational things that I feel like I still rely on a lot, in this job.
Great.
And then I would also say, too, just the overall emphasis on listening to your body and knowing your body. Everything is connected, the mind-body connection. So much of what's going on for kids mentally is presents itself physically. And I feel so many kids are not able to communicate or express exactly what's going on in their heads. But my background and kind of knowing, like, oh, if you're really tense, it might mean this. So being able to put some of the ways that kids may be feeling into words is really helpful for communicating with them and can make them feel very seen. And even when I'm wrong, they can then tell me that I'm wrong and say, no, I'm feeling this, which is super helpful. So those are the ways that are kind of standing out right
Yeah,
now.
that's great. So let's turn that question around. You went to BOCO for the dance degree, and I will say that you did sort of aim your educational experience more at your career. You figured out what you were going to do sooner than a lot of people I've interviewed. And obviously, you went there to study dance, and that was your major. So let's say, but all that said, when you look back at your BOCO education, is there anything where you say, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was an undergrad, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Was there anything missing or incomplete?
Well, something that I really appreciated as a student and that really helped was the psychology courses that I was actually able to take. And so I think that, I mean, all of those courses are at the time were offered through Berkeley, I don't know how it works today as far as academics go. But those courses that I took, I signed up with through Berkeley. So I think that that was really cool,
All
that
right,
we've
that
been
this
able to
wasn't,
do that.
I actually was asking if there's anything missing or incomplete. You're saying more nice things.
Oh,
Although,
sorry.
since you are talking about psychology, you got a favorite professor?
I know
Know a
her
few of
name.
them are, see, Erica Knowles, Alicia Bauer, Pooja
Alicia Bauer. She was the best. I had her for general psychology and for abnormal psychology. She was great.
Awesome. Cool. Okay, now back to the question.
Yeah, so as far as what was missing, I think that, I mean, it would be great if BoCo offered more of those courses. I mean, but they're available, so I don't know what I would have to say as far as negatives go.
So, okay, but you had to sort of go out of your way to take them as opposed to have them just be part of the program.
Yeah, as yeah, they're certainly not part of the program, that's for sure.
All right. Great. So, next question I have for you is again, you sort of figured out the direction you wanted to go in your career pretty quickly, and you just sort of went and did it, which definitely makes you the exception. Not unique, but the exception among people whom I've interviewed. Many folks didn't figure out that path as quickly, and even were, maybe staring at the big scary world in undergrad, just not knowing what comes next. For either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
That is a really tough question. I mean, I think for the group who knows what they want to do, just, I don't know, just do it. Like that's what I did. I mean, I by all accounts, I should not be where I am. Like, how did I get here? Like I said, somehow grad school let me in. I applied to multiple other schools and did not get into any of them. And I was super discouraged. And I said, I'm just not smart enough. I don't have the academic background. They're looking at my resume and they're seeing all this stuff that has to do with dance. And I mean, some psychology courses, but very little like interrelated field. So I was maybe gonna give up. I really didn't want to, but I was starting to think that it wasn't gonna happen. So then I spoke to Maria, who I believe is at BoCo, and she recommended that I try Regis, and they took a chance on me, and I did it. So, I mean, just, you and we all have experience with this and being in the performing arts world. There's going to be many doors that are not open to you. You might not get the first opportunity that you try. You might have to try and try again. But if it's something that you really want, continue to go for it and don't give up and, follow, do what you want to do.
Gotcha. Very cool. So let's zoom in a little bit. You're in an extremely specialized job, but let's even say somebody who thinks, so, maybe working with autistic kids or, being a licensed, mental health counselor of one sort of the or the other. Again, I mentioned I've done over 230 interviews. Precious few. You might be unique here. I may have to create a new category for you, which makes me happy. So, like, anyone who's made it this far is, let's say, thinking about, you know, I'm not saying being your coworker, but doing something along the lines of what you're doing.
Sure.
So, for someone who's really considering it, hasn't gone to grad school yet, what specific advice do you have for them?
Specific related to like being in the field or applying to grad school?
I mean, I could say both, like either, you know, it sounds like going to grad school is probably a necessity. You could, if you have a tip for grad school, great. And then if you have a tip for, yeah, how to do well in this field, and maybe even a tip for, like, you know, I've definitely had people say, you know, think really hard about whether it's something you want to do. And, you know, they have a few questions like, are you answering yes to the following? Right? Like, you know, like speaking at Engineer, where it's like, do you find yourself always curious about how things work? And, you know, and if you don't, this may not be the career for you. That sort of thing. I don't
Gotcha.
want to put words in your mouth, but.
Okay. So I think that this job is hard. You know, I talked about, I think, a lot of the great things about it. But it is hard. You're working face to face with people, and sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they will tell you the most horrible thing that's ever happened to them in their life. And it's not your job to fix it. It's not your job to make it better, but it's your responsibility to be there for that person and help them feel seen and ultimately, at some point, give them strategies to be able to move on and to feel better. But for, you know, for the most part, this job is very human. And all humans really want is to be connected and to feel important and respected and loved and all of that. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend this job to somebody who's not a people person. I'm not saying you can't be introverted. I very much am. But I do really enjoy connecting with people and helping people. So I would also say, knowing you have to go into the job knowing that most of the things that people tell you can't fix. So you also have to be able to let go of a certain amount of control of situations. That is sometimes really, really difficult to do. And you can't fix them for whatever reason. You know, if somebody passed away, or if I can't think of another good example right
No,
now.
I
But
understand.
yeah,
There,
you get where I'm
yeah,
going.
there are things which are gonna be unfixable no matter what. Just, you know,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
if someone's like, I feel different from the other kids. It's like, well,
Ooh.
I don't.
Exactly. It's like, well, I can give you some tools, but you know, ultimately I can't actually fix that or change that. You know, if a kid's being picked on at school, I can help him build his confidence in a group, or, give him tools to stand up for himself, but ultimately I can't control what that other kid is doing. Even if I hate it and even if I think it's wrong.
Sure. Okay, well, I just have one last question for you, Kayla,
Sure.
which is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
I don't think so. Just thank you for the opportunity. Yeah,
Well,
that's all
then
I got.
thank you for I could tell you were gave a lot, each question a lot of thought, and I really appreciate that.
Of course.
All right, well, hey, have some great holidays, and yeah, best of luck with everything. Keep rolling on. Sounds like you're in a great place.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you too.
Take care.
Okay.